FM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
So this is the third podcast of the all new XFM Breakfast Show.
Yeah, hi there, podheads. Podcast.
Thanks for
enthusiasts.
Podding our cast.
Yeah,
fair.
For the love of pod, it's good to see you again.
For pod's own sake.
Yeah.
May your pod go with you. We could do this in a song. This is gold now.
Yeah.
Frank Turner was on, wasn't he? He played Pop Stars Win Prizes, despite not being a pop star and there being no prizes. Oh, the Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's right, former governor of LA.
Him. He was on the X-Men Breakfast Show. His first choice, I think. He's offered a lot, but he wanted to come to us.
Yeah,
and that was clear from the interview, in many ways. Alan Titchmarsh was on, of course, being interviewed by Tim Westwood. That's on, isn't it? We launched through lazy PR, and Florence and Her Machine came into the under-resourced studio.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So this is the bit, though, on Friday, when we like to round up for you a selection of lazy press releases that we get sent during the week. Obviously, as you'd imagine, working in the media business, we get sent a lot of invitations to things, for like offers of guests, all of which a lesser radio station, a lazy one, might use just as content to fill their moribund broadcast. But we have no need for this. So what happens is they send us this stuff, but they clearly don't know the programme, right? They clearly haven't really listened to what we do here, and that is because, you know, as I say, we are basically the least listened to programme in British radio, but that's fine. We kind of like it like that. It's fine. So we get sent stuff from PR companies that don't know the show, and we think, rather than throw it just in the bin, we like to do a roundup of the stuff we've ignored for you on a Friday. For instance, we got sent this on Tuesday. It arrived into the XFM Breakfast Show inbox. Subject, Gabby Logan backs Trees for Cities treaty. So they tried to lure us in with a pun there.
Awful.
They dangled a pun in front of us like a little worm, a little bit of bait on a line. But
they're making this story sound so exciting, aren't they?
Do you want to know the story?
Yeah.
TV star Gabby Logan has teamed up, she's been paid to, with Trees for Cities to support its 20th birthday treaty. In a bid to make urban environments greener and better places to live, the star, Logan, has signed this treaty pledging to plant trees and is calling on the public to follow suit by committing to the treaty.
Wow.
Please get in touch with us for exciting interview opportunities.
Yeah. I'd love 5 minutes more on that.
I'd prefer to interview a tree.
Yeah.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
We've also been offered, by the way, celebrate the year of the snake with Ken Hom's Guide to Chinese New Year.
Whoa!
We can get Ken Hom and an ISDN line.
Can we? Get him on.
I'm quite up for that.
Get him on. XFM music that walks.
Yeah, music that walks.
I can do puns with the best of these PRs, you see.
Straight back at you.
So what would he say? What would he be talking about? What would he tell
us? Well, he talks about the Chinese Year of the Snake.
Of course he does,
Sunday, 10th of February. People born in the Year of the Snake are known for their charm, popularity and wisdom.
Are they?
They're also very good at stir fries.
Well, hang on, I've just read that there, and it says here, the Western counterpart of the Year of the Snake is to be born a Taurian, which I am.
Oh.
So thus, I have charm, popularity, not so much that, obviously, we've decided in the last 3 weeks, but and wisdom, Matt. Wisdom.
And wisdom.
And popularity and charm.
Very nice.
Yeah, available for interview, Ken Hom, via ISDN. This one has it's caught my eye as well. Hi, John. Personalised. Like it. They know my name.
Yeah.
They know my name. They've got a little bit.
It right as
I
well,
know. No H in it. They've done a little bit of research.
Yeah.
Just wanted to drop you a line. as I'm now arranging interviews for Matthew Harding, the managing director of autostopcock.co.uk. And he's...
Oh, wow.
On what to do if your water pipe
and he's willing to come to talk to you about it on the radio.
Unbelievable.
This fell into my spam, so I missed it. Otherwise, he'd have been on this one.
So he did some research about your name, but then actually thought that might be a feature on the show. Unbelievable.
Autostopcock.co.uk. You can tell me you've got another.
The Bill Farewell Tour.
Oh.
Last chance to cop a look at the hallowed halls of justice. I didn't know this. This sounds quite good, actually. Wimbledon Film and Television Studios welcoming the general public into Sun Hill for the very last time. The studio team gearing up to bid a final adieu to the soap tour phenomenon, which has been running since 2010, and it's been extended twice due to extraordinary demand from Bill fans around the world, even Australia.
Wow.
Clive Wedderburn, who played Police Constable Gary McCann.
Oh, yeah, I know.
He's in it.
Yeah.
Wedderburn.
He's there, is he?
Yeah.
Wedderburn. Wow. Wedderburn, since the bill finished 2 years ago, you busy? Not much, no. Do you want to come and do the guided tour of the studios? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Can I wear my uniform? No. Please? Yes. Yes, you can. PC McCann. That sounds quite good, actually. I used to like
them. I know, actually. We could go down there this weekend.
Should we go? Yeah. Let's go, yeah. That didn't really fit the lazy PR thing at all. We've just actually, that sounds really good. quite fancy that. Let's go down there with Matthew Harding, the managing director of autostopcult.co.uk. He'd like that, wouldn't he? Yeah.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
You'll know that we like to help you. You'll know that. You know we like to help you. And each week we like to bring you a cure for a disease. That's how we like to help you, but not ourselves. We don't want to do it ourselves. We go out into the world and we find your rock stars, because as we know, they're very clean living, aren't they? They're very healthy, the rock stars.
Yeah.
You know, once they've had complete blood transfusions anyway, then they're fine. So we like to bring you cures for certain ailments, but homemade cures are perfected in the kitchens, really, of rock stars. And who have we had so far, Dave? Who have we had? We've had...
Clint Boone.
We had Clint Boone, didn't we? Yeah, Clint Boone and his remedy for something. I can't remember what it was even.
Tim Burgess.
But I know I haven't got these things anymore.
No,
so they work.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And this cold weather, everyone, you know, people want an excuse to stay off work that's not snow-related, maybe. Sore throat. But no, sore throat's painful, isn't it? So today, Johnny Bramwell from I Am Clute, has his cure for us, homemade cure, for you if you're suffering from a sore throat. It's XFM Breakfast. This is Rockstar Remedies.
Hello everyone, I'm John Harold Arnold Bramwell from the band I Am Clute, and here's my homemade remedy for a sore throat. A sore throat is a common physical symptom, and quite useful if you're phoning your boss about getting a day off, as it's a surefire way to sound ill, even though a painful throat is hardly going to get in the way of typing in an Excel spreadsheet. The most common cause of irritation or inflammation of the throat is acute viral pharyngitis, a viral infection of the throat. This is responsible for 80% of cases, the other 20% being down to crisps going down awkwardly and medieval beheadings. My remedy is honey, either on its own or as an ingredient in lemon and ginger tea. Some say honey is as effective as branded cough syrups. Probably bees say that. That's the sort of rumour they'd want to perpetuate. That's why you should always consult your doctor for advice before taking medicinal homemade remedies, and not bees. Don't ask bees. I'm John Bramwell from I Am Clute. That was my homemade remedy for a sore throat. On the XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
Thanks, Johnny.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast XFM.
XFM Breakfast, good morning. Now, I'm very pleased to welcome on to the XFM Breakfast Show via the medium of telephone, Frank Turner. Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, man. How are you?
Good. I'm good, yeah, thank you. How nice and kind of you to ask. Now, it's really good to have you on. I'm now going to force you into playing this ludicrous quiz, if that's all right.
I'm actually quite excited about it.
Well, I know. It's called Pop Stars Win Prizes. It's unique, Frank, because there are no prizes.
Can I just interject that I don't consider myself to be a pop star?
I know. It's a poor quality title. It only works because it's got alliteration in it, Frank. That's the only reason it's there.
Okay,
if I'm honest with you. So it's not pop stars and there's no prizes. Here we go. Okay, this is question number one, Frank. It's a BAFTA-nominated film-related question based on the successful recent Prestwich post-punk misanthropic indie rock band-based brand new Bond film, Sky the Fall. With Bond seemingly dead, the charismatic yet almost continually drunk head of MI6, Marquis Smith, finds his past coming back to haunt him, bringing MI6 under attack. Bond returns to the fold and, despite injury and with Q's help, manages to decipher what Marquis Smith is actually singing about in most of the Fall's songs. But of course, Sky the Fall isn't the only pop and or rock star-based Bond film. Name the other one, Frank Turner. Is it A, Live and Let Loose? Early 90s one-hit wonders Let Loose are tortured by a Caribbean dictator who plans to flood the charts with heroin and voodoo? Is it B, the man with the golden guns and roses? Or is it C, Emma Bunton's disappointing octopussy in 3D? Which of those do you think it might be?
Okay, the third one's just a horrible image that I run away from. I held a particularly special loading in my heart for Guns N' Roses.
Good.
They just kind of typify everything that's wrong with music to me. So let's go for A, because I quite like the idea of Let Loose being tortured.
It's the right answer. Very well done. Here's question number two. It's a history question, and almost on this day, exactly on this day, 1901, the first so-called Texas oil gusher was discovered near the popular Scottish rock band Texas. Prospectors drilling around lead singer Charlene Spiteri released 100,000 barrels of oil from the front woman before they were able to bring her under control with a pressure system. Spiteri's blowout, as it became known, forced out the drill string, destroying equipment, and it killed three workmen before she was capped with a well lid. But the 1901 Texas oil gusher isn't the only popular music-based notable discovery. Frank, name the other one. Is it A, when in 1898 Marie Curie discovered Radiohead? Is it B, the discovery of the Terracotta New Model Army, figures of the band rendered in clay, built by John Peel to protect him in the afterlife? Or is it C, the uncovering of the Valley of the Jonathan King in Egypt? But it's best we don't mention what they found there. Which of those do you think it is?
I think it's got to be the Terracotta Army.
It's the right answer. Of course, it's exactly the right answer.
And who better to do it than New Model Army?
It's the right answer. Final question. An ambitious mission recently to examine, you may have seen this in the science news, a deep part of Greg Lake from Emerson Lake and Palmer in the Antarctic. It had been sealed off for thousands of years, and that experiment has been cut short. The team at Greg Lake have called off the mission. They did it actually at Christmas. They called it off when it was thought that Greg Lake first started believing in Father Christmas back in the day. The scientists blocked up the hole in the Antarctic Greg Lake after an equipment failure, and it's unclear when they will be able to resume the project. I need you, Frank, to name me, please. Five famous holes. Five famous holes, please.
Oh my god. Okay. Courtney Love.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
I can't believe you're making me do this. Courtney Love, there was the guy in Hole who I always felt really sorry for because I felt like he just got a raw deal. What was his name?
That's the point. No one can remember. Well, look, I'm going to tell you what I got written on the card, right? You could have had any of these. You got Courtney Love, you got that, right? I also had a whole lot of shaking going on. You could have had that.
Hold on. Whole Lot of Love.
Yeah, yes.
Whole Lot of Rosie.
Good. That's three now.
There's a Nine Inch Nails song with Hole in the title.
It was a cover of Hole Again by Atomic Kitten. That's what that was. You could have also had the Whole Nine Yards, or Holding Back the Years by the notorious sex botherer Mick Hucknall. So, congratulations. Matt's got the scores. Matt, what were the scores?
3 out of 3.
Congratulations, Frank Turner. Well done.
Frank, it was really brightened up my morning.
Good, I'm glad about that. It's a pleasure having you on, Frank. Honestly, really, really pleased you did it. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. I came up with a new name for your quiz, by the way.
Oh, go on then.
It's the folk singer wins Sweet F.A.
That's it. We'll call that. That was folk singer wins Sweet F.A. here on XFM. Frank Turner, thank you.
It's my pleasure, man.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
In Roman times for sport, there were times when the slaves became masters and the masters became slaves. Over this presided the Lords of Misrule.
And this is Lords of Misrule. On a Wednesday, this is what we do. On XFM Breakfast. There are a lot of dull meetings, aren't there? A lot of dull meetings. You've probably got 100 to go to today. You've probably been to hundreds yesterday as well. And if you're not watching someone explain the office's recycling policy with a PowerPoint, then you're probably sitting listening to your boss talking about full revenue scoping and cross-platform pollination, yeah? To ensure that our partners get the most from mobile. Happens a lot around here, that. You know the kind of guff we're talking about. The horrible corporate arse-speak that makes your ears bleed off. So on a Wednesday, on XFM, We invite you to suggest the tossiest work phrases that your mind can conjure. Send them to us. And then we task producer Dave with getting one of your phrases into one of his dullest meetings. That's how it works. There's a lot of dull meetings here. And then we also get him then to record said meeting and the bit where he got the phrase in on his iPhone so we can play you the audio. So example phrases, Matt, some examples there. What's the sort of thing you could...
Let's all have an open kimono moment. It's one of my favourites.
Lovely.
So let's throw some ideas down the thought well.
Oh, yeah.
And see what echoes back.
Let's throw ideas down the thought well, see what echoes back.
Right,
yeah.
Guys.
Yeah. And I imagine as well when they say thought well, they do those air commas.
The thought well.
Yeah. So you know the kind of thing. We want suggestions from you, what Dave could get into future meetings. Yesterday, Dave had a meeting, though. Dave, didn't you? What was your meeting? A really exciting meeting you had yesterday. What was it?
This was a really good one.
Yeah.
This was about the fact that we have to pay £5 if we spill coffee on the carpet here at XFM.
Oh, yeah.
What? Where? Why? What?
They'll go to CCTV, they'll check out who spilt the coffee, and then they'll come to your desk and ask for £5.
Wow.
Yeah, so... It's quite controversial.
That is controversial, isn't it? And that's a thing, is it? That's proper.
It's a real thing.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
Be careful.
Wow. It's docked from your wages at the end of the month. That's terrible. So you went for a meeting about that?
Yes, I did.
Good. And I think we had a phrase suggested, didn't we? This was from Lucy, I think, who was Lucy in London. And she said, I want Dave to get this into a meeting. Let's avoid this traffic jam of negativity and get onto the motorway of momentum.
Oh wow.
So, did Dave manage to get this into his meeting about spilling coffee?
It's a big ask.
It's a genuine thing. Okay, well, let's find out. Here we go.
Yeah, but it's a place of work. You know, it's not like coffee's gonna stain. If it stains, if you're gonna spill it, wipe it up. You know, £5 every time you spill a coffee.
Yeah, but I think it's more of a deterrent. I think it's trying to stop people actually spilling the coffee and filling the coffee cups up so much and so high in the first place.
Yeah, but it's a place of work, not a concentration camp.
Well, look, let's avoid this traffic jam of negativity and just get onto the motorway of momentum here. The best way to do this is, I think...
Good work, Dave!
XFM. The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So Arnold Schwarzenegger... He's got a film out. You probably know that already. He's got a film out. It's called The Last Stand. It opens today, tomorrow? Tomorrow. It opens tomorrow. And we were invited, as you often are on these things, to go and meet Arnie. A junket in a hotel room in the Savoy in London. It's too important to come here. We had to go to him, and that's fine. So we, Dave and I went down there, you know, to chat to him about the film. So. Now, he might have just been jet-lagged, a bit tired, maybe, I don't know. But, yeah, first impressions count, don't they? I've never met him before. He was in there with Johnny Knoxville, by the way, who's also in a film. First impressions count, though, and I walked in, and Arnie, you know, politely, as I would, Matt, I'm a polite man. Dave and I walked in, Dave started setting up the recording equipment, and Arnie just ignored us, and he was reading a book, a coffee table book. That he just picked up that was on the table. It wasn't his book, it was just in front of him on the coffee table in the room. It wasn't even his book. It was pictures mainly, I have to say, and he was looking at it. And this sort of art, you know.
He was engrossed, wasn't he?
He was engrossed. And it's so engrossed that he didn't even acknowledge that we were there, did he? Not even, you know, and I said, oh, lovely to meet you, nice to meet you. Arnold, so, nothing, silent, nothing.
Really?
Read his, turned over the page, pointedly. And I thought, well, this is going to go well. so, you know, and I didn't want from him. I didn't want pre-prepared sort of film guff, you know, that they churn out in every interview you ever seen with. I didn't want that. I thought, we need to get to know the real Arnie. And to be honest, I think we did. and I wanted to ask him, you know, I wanted to ask him about his rival with Stallone, you know. And I said, nothing, right? I thought I'd ask him about whether for his comeback film he'd auditioned to be in Les Miserables. But nothing from him at all. He just looked at his book. So instead, I thought I'd try an anecdote. I just want to ask Arnie, first of all, I've got to tell you this because this has happened to a friend of mine. You were in Madame Tussauds, right? I think there's one in Hollywood, like the waxwork place. Obviously, they've got one of you, Arnold, in there as a Terminator. And a friend of mine was going for a job there, and he genuinely got to keep the wax head of yourself as the Terminator from Madame Tussauds. But then he left it on the metro, on the underground tube in London, because he just got up and rushed for his stop. And somewhere around London, just so you know, your wax head was going round on the Circle Line, just for the pleasure of passengers. And I'd like to think that's still there. Something that's kind of nice.
Was it ever recovered?
Do you know what? It never got handed into Lost Property because he did go and ask. So I'll be brutally honest with you. So what happened there was, he didn't even look up from his book during that at all. Johnny Knoxville was trying to be polite, hence Johnny Knoxville talking at the end there. Right, but Arnie just looked at the book. And you heard him there when I sort of went, and your wax head was going round on a tube train. You just sort of went, like I just made that sort of guttural sound.
So he's reading the book when you went in there, yeah. But the interview started and he carried on reading the book.
Reading a book. Reading the book. Wasn't even interested.
What?
Yeah. So I thought, well, okay, in the background there, Johnny Knoxville laughing and Arnie. No, it was like, I'll be honest, it was like someone had just drawn a face in biro on the side of some ham. That was kind of what it was like. But I wanted to find out if he was worried about the fact that all films with the word last in the title have flopped. I'm thinking Last Boy Scout, his own last action hero, Airbender. You know, they all flopped, didn't they? I thought, what about The Last Stand? I didn't ask him, obviously, because he was busy looking at his book. So I thought, okay, I'll play the game, Matt. The game here, and I will ask him about the film. Tell me a bit about the film, then, because this is your return. You promised to be back. You are.
Well, I think it was terrific to come back again, and it was not my first film. It was my first starring role.
Sure.
But the first film.
So he went on.
Yes, it's good to be back. This is my first starring role since Expendables. It was a cameo. I got gunned. There were guns. Bang, bang, bang.
Right, it just went on as you'd expect. Right, quite dull. Not quite what I really wanted, if I'm brutally honest, from this. So basically, what I'm saying is that Arnold Schwarzenegger was the world's most boring interviewee. So what I thought we'd do, because we don't just want to play that out, do we? So what we've done for the rest of the interview is that we've pitched his voice up to make him sound like a chipmunk.
So it was great to get back into it again, and I felt like it's like bicycling. It's not like you have been out of it for all these years, and now you click right back into it. You always have to practice again. We went on the shooting range, and we shot all the different guns and practiced and loaded and reloaded and changed magazines and talked about how to hold the gun under various different circumstances.
Yeah, right. So I think we agree that makes it a bit better, doesn't it?
Yeah, the holding the gun in a different circumstance. Yeah, the bang with the gun.
So, I sort of gave up, really, to be honest with him. So I thought I'd finish by asking Johnny Knoxville, who was, lovely, what it was like working with Arnie.
And what's even better is like meeting him in person. He's so down to earth and a good guy.
That's
what I take away most from this is just what a good person, the way he treats people.
No, he's just reading a book. Knoxville lied. So anyway, that's what happened. That was the interview. Yeah. That was it. It was, it was difficult, I'll be honest. He may have had jet lag, I don't know. But it was not good. It was not nice.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
So I don't know whether, Matt, with your one good eye, you've seen any of the news. Any of the news recently? Have you seen any of it?
Seen some of it.
How much as a percentage? How much news?
I've seen about 75%.
That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. Did you see the story yesterday? That most parents lie to their children. This was this is a story. You didn't see this one. It's big news, Matt. He was too busy with the pigeon sexes, isn't he?
Yeah.
most parents, it said yesterday in the news, they tell lies to their children as a tactic to change their behaviour. This was a study of families in America and China. The most frequent example was parents threatening to leave children alone in public unless they behaved. Harsh, isn't it? But, it's all about the one where telling children they'll go blind unless they eat vegetables. That's a regular lie, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. According to this survey, yeah.
What happened to carrots making you see in the dark?
It's gone hardcore now, isn't it?
That was a lie, right, wasn't it? The carrots?
I think that is true, isn't it?
I don't know if it's true.
Cat. Well, rabbits have night vision, don't they? So use your own skill and judgment. But it was an interesting... I mean, a friend of mine, Andy Riley, came up once with a lie. He actually wrote a book called Lies to Tell Children or something, I think.
Oh, nice.
But the best one, I thought, was that parents telling children, when the ice cream van plays music, it means they've run out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. He came up with that. So what we thought we'd do this morning, because we want to encourage lying, really, and the main culprit of it, I think, is probably, you know, Radio 2. Mm. You've heard of Radio 2. You know, yeah. Steve Wright.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he does, famously, does factoids, doesn't he?
Yeah,
Steve,
oh, yes,
Wright, he does
yeah,
the
yeah.
factoids that his little sidekicks, Tim Smith and Janie Lee Grace on Radio 2 in the afternoon on the big show, read out. And they're all lies. They're mostly lies. I've got some examples for you before we...
Facts?
Yeah. No, they're all lies. Listen to this, listen to this. This is from yesterday.
Today we'd like to bring on Janie Lee Grace and Tim Smith, and here they come with factoids. First of all, Janie.
On a clear night in the Northern Hemisphere, the naked eye can discern 5,000 sick pets.
Oh. Purist Italian chefs have been silenced by a council which has banned them from playing their cheese trumpets. In some parts of Saudi Arabia, there are solar-powered guinea pigs in the desert. No word in the English language rhymes with bell pepper, clowns, or Janie Lee Grace.
Or pineapple.
Or pineapple.
If you got yourself a yacht,
chicken
yacht, you could go all the way around the globe without stopping or hitting the rear of the eyeball.
But like this? Yeah.
Yeah, don't try and speak.
We can't top that.
Anchovy bandit.
Fair enough.
So that's the sort of thing, that's the sort of lies they perpetuate over there. We can compete with that, though, I thought this morning. We want made-up facts. For instance, did you know, Matt, that egg-championing cook Delia Smith only has one elbow?
Oh, wow.
Fact.
I did not know that.
Fact, yeah.
Did you know that the co-host of Pointless, Richard Osman, used to be a glass collector at the Raymond Review Bar in Soho in the early 90s?
Did you know that IKEA translated from the Swedish? The translation, IKEA actually means otter fury.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The French don't have a word for deodorant.
Did you know TV baking aficionado Paul Hollywood, his arms are 70% sponge? And his blood tastes of raspberry jam.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
We couldn't be bothered to go to interview. Alan Titchmarsh got offered, didn't he, really, to the show. And, you know, again, lazy PR, we weren't really interested. So we thought, what we'd do, we'd send Tim Westwood to interview him instead. So this is what happened.
We're going in right now. It's your boy Westwood. What up?
Good morning. How are you?
Man, good to speak to you, brother. Now, where are you? Are you in London at the moment? Where are you exactly?
In the little back garden at home in Ilkley.
Right. Hard. Now, first things first, man, I need to put this to bed because this is upsetting me and I didn't really sleep very well last night when I heard the news, but you are putting out some techno tracks.
Well, I've always just enjoyed variety and being stimulated, and I think I just like to freshen up every now and again, and as long as I'm doing something that's interesting, hopefully I'll get away with it.
So you're going in hard with, like, mixtape cuts and taking it back to hood classics?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's easy for you to say. I couldn't possibly comment. I just keep moving fast, and I think you're harder to hit that way, you know, if you're a moving target.
Yes.
So I'll do a bit of writing and a bit of broadcasting and a bit of telly and a bit of radio and gardening in between.
Also, there was some talk that you were getting sued by one of Rick Ross's baby mamas.
Yep, Cookie. She was called a dumpling of a woman, plump and cylindrical. She knew when my mother had stood me in the corner for being naughty because she could hear me kicking the skirting board.
Okay, I don't quite follow what you're saying, but I'm working with it.
Good.
Now, I need to ask you this. Nissan, Honda, or Chevy?
Caterpillars.
Okay, New York, Jersey, or Philly?
Leaks.
Okay, there's three girls in the studio. Would you want Julie, Charlotte, or KD?
Brussels sprouts.
All three of them, I agree with that.
We sent Tim Westwood to interview Titchmarsh. There it is.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
Will in Bromley. Scientists have concluded that the River Thames is officially the world's fifth wettest river.
Yeah.
Paul and Miranda. Britney Spears is actually distantly related to the Moomins.
Did you know David Bowie has revealed that the reason that he hasn't produced music for so long is because he's been reprising his role of Jareth the Goblin King in amateur productions of the film Labyrinth in small local theatres. Thank you, teacher Ellie.
Matt in Leeds. Dogs can see the wind.
Yeah. That's why they bark so much in parks.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So radio tradition is, of course, to have live sessions. XFM is no different. Hillcock, Kennedy, all live, all sessions. But we're breakfast, and we want in on the whole session thing. But we quite literally don't have the budget. Sessions cost money. You have to get a professional studio, engineers, drugs for the band. We just don't have that kind of resource. So what the boss said, he said, you can do it. You'd have bands in as long as they agree to use just whatever instruments they find in the XFM music cupboard, you know, triangle, wooden blocks, glockenspiel, that kind of thing. So we've had a couple of bands in here since we started the all-new breakfast show on XFM. Muse were in, Killers last week. So welcome then into the XFM under-resourced studio, Florence, out of Off of Florence and the Machine. Good morning, Florence. How are you?
Very well.
You look beautiful this
morning.
Thank
you.
Very, very foxy.
Got up extra early.
Did you?
Two layers of makeup.
You look good. First of all, I've got to ask you, it's making a hell of a noise. I've got to ask you about your machine.
Sure.
You know, because I know you've had it a long time and I know you built it yourself in your garage.
Yeah.
Talk us through the machine. It's amazing.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fan of pistons.
I am a fan of pistons.
There are eight.
I can see there are eight.
Which one's your favourite?
You see the one near the top on the left?
Yep.
The one with the steam, the one that's belching the steam.
Yep.
The most, that's my favourite.
Piston, I mean, let me just.
Is that what?
That's piston three.
Is it? What does it do?
I've named them.
What?
Well, it's very.
It's not named, really. That's numbers, isn't it? You've numbered them.
I've named it.
What is it? Dave the Piston? What have you called
piston
it?
Piston three.
It's not a name, it's a number, Florence.
If the numbers can be a name.
No,
like the film Seven. It's the name of a film.
You do have a point on that. And also, am I right, you built this in your garage?
Absolutely. Got a big garage.
Yeah.
Bigger garage now that we've sold some records.
Yeah.
Originally, it was quite a small machine.
So, have you added to it as you've gone along?
Yeah, no, it's always, but I mean, you must have seen it before.
Well, yeah, but
it's
I mean.
It's much bigger, isn't it?
It is a lot bigger than it used to be, I'll give you that.
It's noisier, too. It's loud, isn't it?
The steam hiss is really, you know, it's a very high frequency, that steam hiss, isn't it?
It is. It's going to be on our next album.
Is it right? Is it true as well that, like the Enigma machine, it can solve codes?
It can. I can't show you it because it's all very classified.
Right.
And we're working with.
But you work for the government?
The Ministry of Defence.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where
your machine.
That's where we all met.
Oh!
At the Ministry of Defence.
I didn't realise that. So the.
Do your research. It's on Wikipedia.
The rest of the band are trained spies.
Yeah.
Right. And have they all got their own machine, or is it just you?
No. There's only one machine. Florence and the machine.
Oh, the clue is it's singular.
It's very singular, yeah. Isn't it? There are more machines in the world.
Right. Have you built them all?
Not all the machines in the world.
Have you built all the machines that operate a bit like this? This quite noisy one.
Yeah.
You're like a sort of musical Wallace and Gromit, aren't you, with your with your building of sort of contraptions.
It does make toast.
Does it? Now you've said I can see the slot at the bottom. It's really, really good. Because you're going to play live for us now, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the under-resourced studio. Yeah. What song are you going to do?
You've Got the Love.
What instruments did you find in the under-resourced studio cupboard to do that with, Florence Watson?
Bongos.
Bongos, yeah.
And a didgeridoo.
That's nice, isn't it?
There's a triangle as well. Mark Bellamy sent me a letter to say that he'd left his triangle here.
Well, okay then. We might have to turn the machine off though, because it's going to get in there. It's going to be noisy. Can you turn it?
Can power it down for 12 minutes a day.
Can we do that now?
Yeah.
Great. All right then. So if you want to go over and just power it. Just power it down. Yes. So Florence is just walking over to power the. But is that the lever?
Yeah.
Well, here we are. Live in the XFM under-resourced studio, Florence and her turned-off machine. Love. is absolutely amazing, Florence. What a touching performance.
Thank you.
You know, that was
thank you.
That was raw. Just before you go, is it true you've got a product? You've got a range of these machines coming out, little ones for kids and stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, it's taken me 15 years to build this one, but yeah. we've been working.
But they scale models of your actual machine.
Absolutely, yeah. I've got a staff working on them, so they'll be out next June.
Do they still make toast like yours does?
A little tiny, there's soldiers you can get with eggs.
Dipping an egg. Do you want to power it up again, by the way?
Yes.
Because I know you've got to get. I know you've got another interview to do on Capital, so
I'll saddle up and I'll say.
Yeah, back. Yeah. Florence is just going back over to a machine then, and honestly. So much steam in here. It's Florence, and it's clunking out of it. It's clunking out of the studio now. You're probably here. I'm going to have to move back. It's just actually quite dangerous in here. That's Florence and the Machine. This is XFM.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast XFM.
So it's XFM Breakfast then, isn't it? And this is the bit where we... We put a combine harvester, it's not a combine harvester, it's just Matt, really, through the news in order to sort the news wheat, which would be brought to you in the proper news bulletins, from the news chaff, the stories no one really gives a toss about at all, including us, but we like to see what rival radio stations might be leading with and covering in their celebrity roundup. They have, don't they, on there, on the Capital and the Heart and stuff. Matt goes and just skims the top off their desk and brings the chaff news in here. And then very quickly after we've gone through it, we throw it in a skip. What's in the chaff news today?
Some of the rubbish I've discarded includes the news that Daniel Craig has been voted the man most women want to share a bath with.
What? Why? In what world do we live in where there is a survey saying, what man would you most like to share a bath with? Why is that even a thing?
I can't understand. I presume it's by some bubble bath manufacturer.
Of course it is.
I haven't got the details, thankfully.
Good.
But David Beckham, Gary Barlow, Gerard Butler and Prince Harry. All made the top five. That we'd like to have some aquatic fun with in the bath.
Right, yeah.
The person we'd least likely to share a bath with, Russell Brand.
Well, that's because Russell Brand is so hairy, isn't he? A lady wishing to share a bath wouldn't want to get out of the bath and have to clean the plug hole unsexily afterwards because of Brand's clogging that would have occurred.
Also, Harry Styles is a bit of a shock. Wouldn't want to share a bath with person.
No.
James Corden, Tiny Temper and James Arthur. I don't know who James
Arthur is. What's a James Arthur? I don't know
what... Do you know who James Arthur is, Dave? I've never heard of him.
I actually do, I'm afraid.
Oh, right. God. Okay.
I think he won X Factor, didn't he?
I don't know, did he?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What's X Factor? What's that? What that is? James Corden, though. You couldn't get in a bath with James Corden, could you?
I suppose.
He's quite the fat gentleman, isn't he?
Yeah, well, you know, I suppose it would move some water out of the bath, I suppose. But it would be cosy.
What a great story that is.
Yes, James Arthur. There we go. Yeah, he was on X Factor.
Right.
He's Googled him, hasn't he? He's on an X Factor tour as we speak.
Is he?
Speaking of X Factor, Simon Cowell has his favourite variety of carrots flown in for him from Singapore so he can keep a bowl to snack on in his Britain's Got Talent dressing room.
And that's a headline, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
This has come from Stephen Mulhern.
Oh, yeah.
Who's Britain's Got More Talent host. That's the spin-off, I presume. He says it's like someone's been buffing the carrots.
Well, everyone says that about Simon Cowell's dressing room, don't they? That's not the first time that's been said, let's be honest.
I was speaking to a friend about it, and she said, oh, Simon's had them flown in from Singapore. They're the only carrots he likes.
Oh, what? Do you think he eats them, or do you... No, never mind, move on.
I don't think he just buffs them.
I think he probably does.
And in Twitter news, Justin Bieber has ended Lady Gaga's 3-year reign as the most followed person in the world. Bieber now has over 4,000 more followers.
Does he?
Yeah, bringing the total to 33.3 million.
Crikey.
Beliebers.
I believe they are called that. That's right.
I believe they're called Beliebers.
Beliebers.
Sad state of affairs.
Let's, by the end of the show, let's see if we can get more followers than that.
Yeah,
and then, XFM knocks Bieber off the top of the most followed chart. At the moment, we've got about, 57,000. So it's not... we haven't got too far to go.
Well, unfortunately, there's not as many of us right-thinking people in the world. We're surrounded by dimwits.
And that's the news.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
As you probably know, have a sort of, something like Thought for the Day. Thought for the Day, in which a religious person will come in and offer, indeed, their thought for the day, hoping to set you up on your day with a sort of cheery thought, a warm, give you a warm feeling inside, Matt, a sort of nice...
Yeah, it's nice, spiritual.
You know, spiritual is the word, yeah. Put a pause in this busy world, step out of it for a moment, this busy world, and pause for thought.
Take stock.
Exactly. Not in a shoplifting from a supermarket sense, let's make that very clear. We're not condoning that. That would be a terrible, terrible thing to do. But we think here at XFM, we're all about equality, and we think all the other Thought for the Days around the dial are often about Christianity or, you know, and sort of, I guess, the religious beliefs in that direction, in a sort of... But there aren't any to cater for other people's beliefs, essentially. Specifically Satanists, I'm thinking about, who are equally valid, I think, but really there's nothing for them out there. For a morning thought. So what we like to do occasionally, I think, is to invite the high priest of the Temple of Mephistopheles in Hendon, he's called Vexen Le Crowley, in to offer his thought for the day for Satanists.
Good morning. Yesterday, as I was cycling home from my local farm shop, I stopped by a dry stone wall to rest a while. On the other side, I was surprised to see a goat, caught by the horns in a thicket where it becomes stuck fast. The little chap struggled and struggled, but, you know, he never gave up. And then I thought, well, that's a bit like Satan, isn't it? He's got horns too, and a tail, although it isn't like a goat's one. And blow me down if that didn't remind me that the High Lord of Filth required a sacrifice and I had nothing from the farm shop but strawberries. So I took the goat, and then at midnight I killed that brave little goat and drank its blood. And that should give us all something to think about.
High Priest Vexen Le Crowley there.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So that was it. Those were the least worst bits then of this week's Breakfast Show that we just sort of left on the internet for you to find. I recycle it now if you want, or you know, just leave it on the floor like a towel in a hotel, and we'll replace it next.
Someone will collect it. Did you ever hear anything back from Arnie's PR people?
No, but someone did at him in on the Twitter. But I don't know if Arnie does his own Twitter. I wouldn't imagine he does. He's too busy reading a book.
It's the unwritten rule of the show business that you shouldn't really expose people like this, but you've gone against that. You've flown in the face of it.
I have, haven't I?
Yeah.
Which is good. So from now on, we get no more guests. So every week, it would just be Alan Titchmarsh again being interviewed by some sort of hip-hop DJ. That's it. It's all that to look forward to next week when we've got no guests. Although we have got Kelly Jones.
Ah, yes.
He's coming on the show next week, isn't he? Playing pop stars win prizes like Frank just did. Anyway, that was it. That's the end of the podcast. I don't know. I've got no end. I haven't.
No. You've not got like a catchphrase to end or anything?
No, I think I'm just going to shut the whole thing down like Arnie, like the Terminator. In fact, I know what we're doing. Look, let's pick up the podcast now between us. We pick it up. Yeah. And we'll just, you know, at the end of Terminator 3 when Arnie, he got crushed in that crusher. We'll just do that with the podcast.
Okay, crush it.
Dave, crush it.